Today's daf in Masechet Sotah is daf Gimel, and rolling right at the top of the daf. So we had a discussion yesterday between Reish Lakish and Rav Yemar about what the issue is about the Torah's use of this funny word, kinui, instead of saying lazir et ishto, or something like that, which implies that there's all types of jealousies and anger beneath the surface. Okay, so according to Reish Lakish, this was a question of ruining relationships with her society, because he held that you could do kinui between the two of you without needing any witnesses, so no one will know. And according to Rav Yemar, no, everyone will know, and they're going to feel very bad for her, but that puts her even into a more difficult situation in which she's embarrassed to even be seen by people. I mean, she's mad at her husband at the way that he's forced her to be super sensitive to connections with anybody else. And it's an awful position to be put into. But it's mashma that both Reish Lakish and Rav Yemar hold that this kina is a very bad idea. It's very destructive. So that's the way they're describing the word kina, is that it's causing problems. Either the problems are within the marriage or the problems are within her social connections. So Alma Kasavre, the Asur Lekanot. So apparently they hold that you are not supposed to be Mikane, a woman. So now the question is, okay, I mean, what is this Nogea in? So there's a lot of questions we spoke about before, whether perhaps it's better to divorce than to do something like this, if you really don't trust your wife. So instead of treating her like this, so then maybe you should get divorced. But that is a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, whether you're allowed to divorce without matzaba ervat davar. So according to Beit Shammai, if you need to be already matzaba ervat davar, then your suspicions cannot be grounds for divorce. According to Beit Hillel, you don't need those kinds of feelings. You can, even if you found somebody you like better, you can get divorced. So, okay, so some make it gufa dependent in all of that. And that's basically the Yerushalmi's approach, that they learned that this whole sugya is dependent on that machlokas, according to which, by the way, Tosva suggest that the Seder of the Masechtas, according to the Yerushalmi, would be that Gittin and Saita would have to go together, and that Sata should come immediately after Gittin. That suggests an entirely different approach, because this is a much more powerful issue than the way that the Bavli has it. Okay, it's fascinating. But anyway, so, yeah, that's the question. Is it Mutter Lekanot? So, okay, we understand the Lashon of Kinoi if it's Osir Lekanot. But what if you hold it's Mutter Lekanot? Why is the Torah using the Lashon of Kinoi? So, Man Yomar Mutter Lekanot, Mahu Lashon Kinoi? Omer Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, the point is, Ein Kinui Ela Lashon Hatra'a. You're wrong in thinking that Kinui has to imply that there is already an unworthy type of jealousy or anger. We find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the word Kina, Vayikane Hashem La'artso, where over there the whole point of it, that's the whole story in Yoel, where it says, Vayikane Hashem La'artso Vayachmol Alamo, that his kina is to warn off the locusts. So, I mean, he's certainly not making the locusts feel bad. I mean, that isn't the point, right? So therefore, we find that we can use that word kina because it's a warning. Now, it's true, obviously, that the nature of that warning is a reflection of deep care, which is what kinui would mean. But it does not mean necessarily that that deep care creates an angry and unpleasant situation. Because certainly being Mikanela Artso with deep and profound concern for Eretz Yisrael that there shouldn't be a locust attack translates into a very simple warning to locusts, stay out. It has nothing to do with taking my deep feelings and taking it out on the locusts. The same thing is true over here. I have very deep feelings about my wife's loyalty. It means a great deal and so on. But it doesn't mean that that is coming out in any way that is necessarily meant to imply I'm ruining things. That's what we see from over there. Tanya, Haya Rabbi Meir Omer. Look, basically this whole thing is really strange because, like, the husband is going to go and openly put his wife into this kind of situation where people are going to be talking about her and they're going to see her zilzol if she goes to drink. And, like, what does that imply? Tanya Haya Rabbi Meir Omer. This is a recognition of the fact that if an Adam is overa verava seter, so this woman has been doing things that are asur for an eshes ish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu machriz alav begalui. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to a husband, vavar alav ruach kina? And the lashon of avar, if you look at the word that we had, avar vaya, where it says vayaviru kol b'machane, to stop bringing the nedaves to the Mishkan, using the same lashon, havara, remember? We learned that out from Yom HaKippurim, havara, havara, and so on. So that means the avar alav means the lashon hachraza, that dafka HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants people to know about it. Shenema vayitzav Moshe vayaviru kol b'machane. Reish Lakish Omer, there's another implication over here of the concept of sota being the nature of avera. Because, in fact, what we see from here is that ein adam over avera, ela im kein nichnas bo ruach shtut. And we're playing on the words ish ish ki tiste ishto, which is not written with a samach, to be a sota. It's written with a sin, which is similar to a shin, which is shota. She's nuts. She lost it. So it means that for a moment, she wasn't fully in touch with her situation. And therefore, it's indicating that this kind of thing happens when a person is in a state of a little bit nuttiness. Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Mipnei Mahe Emina Torah Edachat Besota. Going back to the question of Eid Einba, Sheraglayim Ladavar, this is the continuation that we had from Nazir, specifically Raglayim Ladavar, Sharekinala Venistra, the very fact that she was willing to do something bedafka against her husband, and Eid Echad Meidashi Tumea, so then when we have one Eid, it makes it so reasonable that this is actually what happened, that we believe that Eid Echad, even though we wouldn't do it. And that means that we only will do it where Hareki Nala Venistera. But the problem is that in the Seder of the Pasuk, it's really strange because it says the Kinui after the word Stira Vituma. Omele Rav Papa, I mean, the whole point that you're making is that we're utilizing the Kina as a reason for why the Stira would answer her. But the problem is that in the Seder of the Psukim, it's mashma that first comes the stira and the lotion of the tuma, and only then it says, vavalav ruach kina, and vikineh tishto. Omar le, v'avar means v'kvar avar. It doesn't mean that now, after he already was discovered that she was alone and so on, it means, and he had actually been mekaner before. What? So whenever you're telling me when it says va'avar, it means it already happened? So let's say when it says va'avar lachem kol chalutz, so every one of you should go over the yarden. I mean, obviously, it hasn't happened yet. This is what we're telling B'nai God of B'nai Ruvain. We're telling B'nai God of B'nai Ruvain, if you guys are going to go over and you will be the Marines and you will attack, so how could it possibly mean that? No, that's different. Because, look, obviously you have to look at how the Pasuk is using it. Since it says, when you go, and the land is already completely kovush, then you can go back. So then, obviously, we're talking about what's yet to come. I mean, we're still in Eivar HaYarden, right? So it can't possibly be V'kvar Avar. It's obvious. But as the Inkin over here, it's obvious the opposite. Because Yitzhak HaDayetuch Kedichtive, if you're going to say V'Avar, means that now it would be over, Does that make any sense? That what? Batar Tuma Vestira? We already know that she was mitmeit. So then why are we going now to be mekaneh? That's a little ridiculous. It says v'nitzravi nitma'a. So kino ilamali. So it's clear that when it says v'avar, that it meant that it had been over before. Tana de Rabbi Yishmael, ein adam mekaneh le'ishto, elim kenich l'sa bo ruach. This idea that Rish Lakish was talking about before, which is ruach shtut, there's another ruach that we're talking about over here, and that is ruach kina, because it says beferish avar alav ruach kina v'kineyat ishto. So that means that in the same way that there's something unusual that is happening to this woman, that she went ahead and was involved with another man, something very unusual happened to this guy too. Because you're right that normally a husband would be extremely careful not to put his wife into this kind of situation, and not chas v'shalom that it should come to being a public spectacle in the Beis HaMikdash. The only reason that this happened is that min hashamayim, a ruach of kina was put into him that he should do it. And it wasn't part of his normal behavior. That's the point. So there's a ruach shtut that affected her, and there's a ruach kina that affected him. But what is this ruach from? Is this ruach from Kedusha? Or is this ruach from the Sitra Achra? Maybe it's coming from people utilizing their better than you and always criticizing others. Maybe that's the ruach that was being used over here. How do we understand the ruach? So the Rabbanan said that that means ruach tumah. And Rav Ashi says that means ruach tahara. This is interesting because Rabbanan usually means the Rabbanan in the Gemara, which are the Rabbanan or Rav Ashi, right? I mean, it doesn't make sense to say that over here, for Rav Ashi is the one who said that it means the ruach tahara. Umistavran, it's more reasonable to say k'mad yomer ruach tahara because of another brisa, the Tanya. V'kineyat ishto. How do we understand v'kineyat ishto? V'kineyat ishto, Rabbi Yishmael says that means he has a right to be v'kineyat ishto, but he does not have a mitzvah to be v'kineyat ishto. Rabbi Akiva said, no, he has a chiv, chova. So now, i'amrit bishlama ruach tahara. Look, I understand. You can have a machlokas about, is it rishos, is it a chiv? But that's only if it's coming from Kedusha. But if you're going to tell me, Eliyamad Ruach Tuma, so what, you're telling me that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel are arguing about whether a person should act according to Ruach Tuma, whether he has Rishus or whether he has a Chiev? That makes no sense at all. So obviously, if we find that the Tanoim are taking for granted that it's at least a Rishus, so then it must mean that it's coming from a Mokum of Tyra. You can't possibly believe that it's either a reshut or a chova. I mean, by following those kind of feelings, you're going to end up bringing that ruach tumah into you. And that you have to be careful. Gufa. Okay, let's take a look at this machlokas. V'kinei et ishto reshus, div Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva eimer, v'kinei et ishto chova. Now, this is not the only place that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel argue about whether when the Torah says something, it means you should do it or it means you could do it. Because we have another din about a kohen, right? And it says over there, le'achota shelo hayta la'ish la'itama. So what does that mean? So la'itama, according to Rabbi Shmuel, also, same as here, it means he can. A kohen is allowed to be metame to his sister. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, Amar, no, he must be metame to his sister. So the nafkamina would be, is he, this is a big shayla, halach lemaisa, because think about it for a moment. If there's nobody else that is going to bury her, So then she's a meis mitzvah. And anyway, he would, like the Gemara says in a number of places, that the fact that nobody else could take responsibility is the equivalent of a meis mitzvah if her brother is around, right? So there would be a meis mitzvah. If there's somebody else, why is a kohen more mechuyev than anybody else who has a sister? If a regular Yisrael has a sister and somebody else is going to bury her, he's mechuyev to go to bury her? So why should a kohen be mechuyev to go to bury her? And if there is somebody else, she's like everybody else. If there's not anybody else, then it's a meis mitzvah. We don't need the pasuk. So what exactly, why would there be such a chiyuv? It's very interesting because the Shulchan Aruch brings that there is such a chiyuv. The Marsha says there isn't. Everybody shouts at the Marsha. What is he ignoring the Shulchan Aruch? So it's not so pasha. Tosis over here brings that the question would involve also whether you're considered to be Isaac ben mitzvah. If there's another mitzvah to be done, so then that's a question. If this is just a reshus, then you have to go do the mitzvah, not the reshus. If it's also a mitzvah, so then the other mitzvah isn't mevatalit, because they're both mitzvahs. It would be another difference. Okay. In any event, since it's not our sugi, we don't have to go into the details. We just want to be ma'ira that the questions are serious questions. But again, Rabbi Shmuel understands that when the Torah says something like this, it means you can, not that you must. How about the pasuk about your avodim knanim? So over there it says, la'olam behem ta'avodim. So you should work with these avodim, v'itnachaltem otam livnechem acharechem. They're part of the nachala that you give your children, and you're supposed to work with them forever. So Rabbi Yishmael says, that doesn't mean you have to work with them forever. It's a rishus to work with them forever. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you're not allowed to free them, because the Torah says you're supposed to be working with them, and therefore it's a chiyuv. Omele Rav Papa Labaye, some say Rav Mesharshi asked Rava, this is a little bit weird, isn't it? I mean, are you trying to say that everywhere in the Torah that we have the Torah telling us to do something, Rav Yishmael says that's not a mitzvah, it's a rishus? I mean, no, where do we get Taryag mitzvahs from? I don't understand. It's just the Torah saying you could do this if you want to? Like, how does that make sense? Now, this is not a small issue, because listen, the Ramban uses this Gemara to attack the Rambam's assertion that there are Taryag mitzvahs. Can you imagine? Because the Ramban says, look, if Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel are arguing about three mitzvahs, right? So those three mitzvahs, that means that Rabbi Shmuel's got three mitzvahs less than Rabbi Akiva. So that means that Rabbi Shmuel doesn't have Taryag mitzvahs. He only has Tari mitzvahs. So obviously, says the Ramban, this halacha that their Taryag mitzvahs were given to Moshe is just according to the sheet of that Tana who had Taryag mitzvahs. What about according to others who argue that you don't have Taryag mitzvahs? Why does the Rambam make such a big deal that the whole Sefer is built around establishing a set of definitive, brilliant Sefer, right? First, I'm going to set down all of the rules of what defines a mitzvah. Now let's add them up. Sure enough, there's Taryag, right? But that's only true, says the Ramban, according to Rabbi Akiva, maybe, not according to Rabbi Shmuel. So what's interesting is that Tosfos also asked that as a kasha here. Tosfos says, so what does that mean? Does that mean that according to Rabbi Shmuel, there's no Taryag mitzvahs? So he learns that, no, of course there's Taryag mitzvahs according to everybody, same way the Rambam learns. And that there are machlokas in about some of the other drushes that Rabbi Yishmael has, which create mitzvahs that Rabbi Akiva argues with. So it actually evens out. So he's taking out these three, but he's putting in another three. Anyway, it's a fascinating sugya, no? So it's certainly a very fascinating thing to work with. Okay. But anyway, I mean, it certainly can't mean that he never holds there's mitzvahs, and the Torah is only telling us what we can do. So how do you explain that? So you're telling me b'kola Torah kula that Rabbi Shmuel says everything is just a reshus, and according to Rabbi Akiva, it's a chiyuv. I mean, this doesn't seem to make much sense. Omar Lei, no. Each one of these three are actually a specific machlokas in how to understand the psukim that are relevant to these dinim. I'll walk you through all three of them, and you'll see that these are unique cases, okay? Of course, there's not an overall machlokas. Rabbi Shmuel would normally have assumed that if the Torah says to do something, it means to do something. But here, there's a reason why he doesn't say that. Let's take the first one. V'kineyat ishto. Okay, so Rabbi Shmuel is tining, that's only a reshus. Rabbi Akiva is saying it's a chova. Let me explain to you. Why does Rabbi Shmuel say v'kineyat ishto is not a chova? Because he holds like this Tana, the Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Look, taking into consideration, klapei, shamra Torah, facing the fact that the Torah said, lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha, that you have to be careful not to have bad feelings against someone in your heart. Okay, so then maybe that would include even a case where a woman was making herself alone, and the husband knows that she keeps being alone with this guy, but the Torah said, lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha. So I don't want to do anything that's going to embarrass her, and so on, and I want to avoid, like, making a mess of things. So maybe you might think, Yochel Kogonzo, you might think that that includes even this. Therefore, the Torah has to say you're allowed to be Bekana her in order to avoid the implications of Lotisna that you're not allowed to be Bekana. So therefore, it says, V'yavar lavrochi navikinei tishto, but it's certainly not saying that you must. There's going to be a question of cost effectiveness and judgment about the situation. It's just telling you that you should take that into consideration, which means that it's a reshus. It's very difficult to get a straight out chova when there's going to be these awful implications involved that may make you really, in terms of other mitzvahs, doing wrong things. So why does Rabbi Akiva not realize that? Why does Rabbi Akiva claim that v'kinei is a chova? Because Rabbi Akiva says it says kinei twice. How do you explain that? I mean, we have the double lashon, in which for each one of the psukim, avar lav ruach kina v'kinei et ishto v'hi nitma, or avar lav ruach kina v'kinei et ishto v'hi lo nitma. So what do we need to say that whole jazz all over again? V'kineyat is twice. V'avala v'ruach kina. You want to tell me that we don't know what happened? So then just say, V'avala v'ruach kina, v'kineyat ishto, v'hi nitma'a, o lo nitma'a. Meaning, okay, now we don't know what happened. It's a very strange way to say that we don't know what happened by restating the entire situation. V'avala v'ruach kina, v'kineyat ishto, v'hi nitma'a. It doesn't make any sense, does it, to say it that way? So therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, the only reason to repeat it is to tell me that, no, you're supposed to do this. Not that you can do it, but that you're supposed to do it despite the fact that you don't know what's going on. So therefore, Tainas Rabbi Akiva, so then, for sure, it's a chiyav. And what does Rabbi Shmuel do with this? Remarkably, this is part of Rabbi Shmuel's approach to Kol HaTorah Kula. And I'm sure you're going to remember this. According to Rabbi Shmuel, wherever the Torah repeats something, it can repeat it if there's one issue that needed to be mentioned. So that's his general klal. Because Kivan, Aide, the Boy Lamichta, V'initma, V'ilonitma, didn't we have to write that? So once we have to write that, we even add in v'kina et ishto. Why? Because that's the general way that Rabbi Shmuel approaches Kol HaTorah Kula. Look at the Tana of Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana of Rabbi Shmuel, this is a klal. Kol parasha shenemra v'nishneit. Whenever we have a parasha in the Torah that is said and needed to be repeated because of some davar chadash, lo nishneit elo b'shvil davar shenitchadesh ba. The only reason that everything else is repeated is in order to put the dover that is nitchadesh into focus within the entirety of the sugya. And therefore, according to him, repeating vavar lavar ruach kina is an indication just of the fact that this is the same situation, whether he was he nitma'a or whether he lo nitma'a. And you can see the power of that if you think about it from a literary point of view. The power of the repetition of the entire event means that what it is that he was doing is not looked at differently, whether it's the case of he nitma'a or he lo nitma'a. So that as you read the pasuk, it comes across to you very powerfully. Therefore, Tainas Rabbi Shmuel, that's the only reason it says it. But it's not, it repeats it, I mean. But it certainly does not necessarily mean I'm repeating it to teach you a new din that you're mechuyev to. Absolutely not. Okay, let's take the next machlokas about the lo yitama when it comes to a sister of a kohen. So again, according to Rabbi Shmuel, lo yitama, he has a right to be metame. Rabbi Akiva says, no, he has a chiyev. Okay, so why does Rabbi Yishmael say over there that he only has a reshus and not a chiyuv? Well, it says in the Torah, Moral HaKohanim b'nei Aaron v'amar talayem l'nefesh lo yitama b'yamav. So therefore it has to say lo yitama. Says Rabbi Akiva, what are you talking about? Therefore it has to say lo yitama. How about reading the rest of the pasuk? It says, ki im l'sheiro akamav elav. I don't understand. It says, beferish, the lo yitama ba'amav ki im, unless it's a relative. So what are you saying? I would have thought that you're not allowed to. If it said beferish, you are allowed to. So lo yitama lamali, so why does it stress lo yitama? It's got to be that it's an actual chiyev. What else? And Rabbi Shmuel says, no, I don't agree. Because the lo mitame, that is coming to tell me a special halacha, that la mitame veno mitame le'evareha. A kohen has a right to be mitame to her, but does not have a right to be mitame to only parts of her body, and that he cannot, and that we saw, that for an ever min achai, there is no right to be mitame, according to Reb Chisda that we had before in Nazir. We learn out from Aviv, it has to be Aviv Shalem. So, which of course is a problem, then why don't we learn it out from there? And he would have to learn not like this, because we would know it from Aviv. He can learn like Rabbi Shmuel. And what is Rabbi Akiva? I mean, doesn't he need it to tell me that you're only metame to the person and not to the Evorim? So then, why does Rabbi Akiva say it's a chovah? No, because in Cain, lichtov kralla. Why does he have to say lo yitama? If it would have said, le'achota la, so what would I have said? To her body, to herself, as a mace, but not to her evorim. But why do you have to repeat yitama? That's coming at Tomi Shmamina, that's actually a chiyav. Whereas Rabbi Yishmael comes back again to the way he sees everything. The power of repeating the word la yitama is very much a literary issue and not an issue of chiddush, because l'kidah tani dever Rabbi Shmuel, tani dever Rabbi Shmuel, kol parashah shenemra v'nishneit, lo nishneit ela b'shvil davar shenit chadesh ba. So this works out perfectly again according to Rabbi Shmuel's overall approach. Now let's take a look at the third special case. La'olam behem ta'avod. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel claims this is only a rishus. Rabbi Akiva says it's a chiyev. Why would Rabbi Yishmael learn that this particular mitzvah is not a mitzvah? Why not learn it? Le'olam behem ta'avodu. Because since it says legabe the shiva amami, so it says beferish, lo techayeh kol neshama. You're not allowed to use any of them for anything. You're not allowed to allow them to live. So itzruch nami lemichtav le'olam behem ta'avodu. So we need the pasuk to tell me that you are allowed to utilize echad mikol ha'umot sheba laknanit v'olid mimena ben. Let's imagine a situation where some of the surrounding umais, which are not from the Shiva Amamim, which we call in aggregate Canaan. So let's say they were itinerant workers. They came to Canaan. And they were working, and they fall in love with this Canaanite, and they have a child with this Canaanite, right? Okay, so now, what is this child? Is this child from Canaan, or is this child from those other nations? In other words, do we look at the father to determine the nation, the nationality, or do we look at the mother? So from here, Gufa, we learn that you look at the mother, at the father, and not at the mother, because it's coming to tell me, L'mishri echa mikol ha'umot, she'ba'al ha'kananit va'olid mimena bein, that you are allowed to buy that child as an eved, and he's not included in the Isra of Lotecha Yakol Neshama. So therefore, it's coming to tell me a heter. Now, how do I know that it goes according to the father? That I know from this. D'tanya. Minayin le'achad min umot sheba laknanit v'olid mimena ben shata rashay liknoto be'eved. How do we know this? Talmud lomar v'gam. Mibnei atoshavim ha'garim imachem, mehem tiknu eved v'yama. So, if it's talking about the people that are living there, so from them, you can buy an eved ve'ama. So it says over there that we're talking about all of these amim. Asher yulecha me'et ha'goyim asher svivotechem. So asher svivotechem mehem tiknu eved ve'ama. And gam bimnei atoshavim ha'garim imachem. So what that is referring to is the children that are actually living with you, and that means that they're here in Eretz Yisrael, but they're from a Canaanite and not from a actual person from Canaan. Their father was from another nation. You might say the other way around, well, maybe it's talking about a Canaanite that took a woman from one of the other nations. Maybe you could purchase that as an eved. No, Talmud Lomar, that's why it says, Hagarim imachem asher holidu ba'artzechem. The point over here is that the very next pasuk says, if these children were born in your Eretz Canaan. And that means that they were born from a woman who was here. But we're not talking about, lo min hagarim ba'artzechem, we're not talking about children that were born to a Canaanite, and then he makes aliyah with his children, right? And now they are living in Eretz Canaan. He brings his children back. So those people were not noladim ba'artzachem. They're only garim ba'artzachem, right? That's why it says, davkasher holidu ba'artzachem, but they can't be people who just have a visa to be a resident because they were born outside. That's the point. So those people are children of fathers from Canaan. And they now moved back to Canaan after they were working in the U.S., right? So they bring their kids with them. Those kids you're not allowed to buy. That's the point. And therefore, it's telling us that what determines the nationality? The father. So it's only a woman, Canaanite, who has a child. Now then you can buy that child to work. Fine. So because of that, I need the pasuk of Li'olam Behem Ta'avodu to tell me you can work with that person who's the child of a Canaanite. And Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Akiva, what in the world are you talking about? You just explained to yourself why you're wrong. You just brought to me a raya that the pasuk is saying that you go according to the father. Yeah, what was the raya? Mehem tiknu eved v'ama, for God's sake. So doesn't it say you're allowed to buy them? So I know you're allowed to buy them. Now I'm asking you, Rabbi Yishmael, why does it say lo'olam behem ta'avodu? So you're telling me because I need to know that you're allowed to buy them. And that's what it said. It said you're allowed to buy them, darn it. So why are you telling me you need another pasuk to tell me that you're allowed to buy them? So lo'olam behem ta'avodu lomali. What's the other pasuk for, I'm asking you? Obviously, to teach what I'm saying. L'chovah, you're mechuyev, and you can't let them go. So Rabbi Yishmael, isn't he right, Rabbi Akiva? No, because that's coming to tell me you should work with them. Yes, indeed, they should be your slaves, but not your own brothers. You mustn't work your brothers and make them slaves. And Rabbi Akiva says, this is getting deeper and deeper into craziness. I mean, the pasuk says that. Miachechem. Achechem is the end of the apostik. Ubachechem b'nei Yisrael, ish b'achiv, lo tir debo b'farach. Isn't that what the pasuk says? Everything that Rabbi Yishmael is coming to tell me is there in the open. So I don't understand what he has against understanding the pasuk kipshutai. Le'yolam b'em ta'avaydo is a chiev. Why, I need a pasuk to tell me not with your brothers if the pasuk says not with your brothers. Says Rabbi Yishmael, yeah, but that doesn't bother me. That is just a way to strengthen the idea in a literary context, because that's my shita, that the Torah strengthens things purely from a literary point of view. So even though it already taught you, yes, Rabbi Akiva, you're 100% right, but not everything is halacha, Rabbi Akiva, you know? Things have to do with the impact that it makes on you. This is my shita. So even though it already told me this halacha, that's all very true. But since it says be'achechem, so it also writes behem ta'avodu, to stress behem and not be'achechem. That makes it very powerful. Behem, but not be'achechem. Why? Because be'achechem b'nei Yisrael, don't you dare. Isn't that more powerful than reading it like that laconic Rabbi Akiva? Shvach, shvach amaisis. No, okay. So therefore the idea is, as I say all over, the Ketana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, the Ketana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, kol parsha shenemra v'nishneit, lo nishneit ela b'shvil davar shenitchadesh ba. Gosh, it's a long dafim. I hate not finishing. It depends whether people want to give me another 5 minutes. This is not tough stuff. I mean, it's just sweet. If can we take another five just to finish the daf properly? The big end's not giving me a thumbs up. He's looking like he's waiting to go out to the light show. It looks like he's going to be turning off. He's going to be putting that big end back on, and then I'm going to feel terrible. Come on, 5 minutes? Okay. No, if you can't, you can't. Chas v'shalom. No. I don't mean to. I'm sorry. Shouldn't have done that. Okay. Okay, we'll go. Okay. So, Amrav Chista, you should know that znut in the home, did you ever get a sesame seed that is just a shell? Doesn't that happen very often? There's no seed inside the sesame seed. I've had it happen to me many, many times. It's just a shell. It's like completely hollow inside. You know why? Because there's a certain kind of worm, which is called a caria, and it eats up sesames from the inside. So it hatches inside, eats up the entire thing, and leaves a shell. So you should know that znus in a home eats the home out from the inside and leaves it as a shell, a beautiful mushroom, right? So it turns the home into a shell. And the same thing is true if there's anger in the house and there's constantly fighting. But both of these is only true about the woman, not about the man. So a male carrying on with other women does not destroy the home. And getting angry does not destroy the home. But a woman definitely will destroy the home. The Amr of Chista. It used to be that when Bnei Yisrael were careful about the inyan of arayas in their home, and a woman would never sleep with anybody else, then the Shechina used to live with us inside of our homes. But once they became nichshal in arayas, they chased the Shechina away from the home. Your tzedakah will come before you. It will precede you into Olam Haba to let everyone know that you did this mitzvah. But kol ha'over averah achat ba'olam hazeh, melafafto v'olechet lefanav liyom hadin. But the opposite is true, in that if somebody was over Avera, then that Avera wraps the person, like Melafef, is the same lashon we have by Shimshon, the Vav Yilafet. putting the hand around and being completely attached to it. So over here, it's going to drag you, Leyom Adin. Shinema, Yelaftu Orchot Darkam, Yalu Betovi Ovedu. So the person is enwrapped by his own approach to life, and that is going to bring him right into the waste of Tohu, and he will be lost. Rabbi Elazar Amir, it's worse than that. It's Kshura B'Kelev. It's like it sticks to him like a dog. The Kelev is viewed, the Gemara says, why is the Kelev tied? Because of the fact that it was Meshamish in the Teva. So in other words, the idea, therefore, is that they're always, okay, it means tied. There's different approaches to tied. Some say it means that a Kelev, during intercourse, remains stuck with the female for a while, so to speak, so that he can't really detach very easily. So that's like a bizoyan for him. But it's Kshura B'Kelev, Shinam Avalosha Maila Lishkavetzla Liotima, that Yosef refused two things, Lishkavetzla Bolam Hazeh, which would have meant Liotima Lolam Abay, would never be able to detach himself from her. Later on, we're going to be talking about in the Mishnah about a case where we have a single aid that says, I saw that she was Nitma'a. So, as we indicated over here, over there, it goes into the details of when she is allowed to be Shota, that if there's an aid that she was Nitmeit, so then she's unable to drink from the Mayim HaMa'orim. So the Mishnah over there actually explains itself. And it says like this, Shehaya Bedin, if we wouldn't have had a Posek, I certainly would have thought that if the Edut HaRishona, She'in Osarta Isur Olam, Eina Mitkayemet Bepachot Mishnayim, if the first Edut, which is the Edut we're going to see of Stira, so Stira does not make it a permanent Isser, because she can now go and she can drink. And for that, you would need two Edim, as we said. So wouldn't you think that this Edus, Eduta Achrona, where we're talking about the Ed says that I saw that she actually had slept with this guy after Stira, so that for sure you would say, then she's going to lose her option of being able to drink from the Mayim HaMa'orim, and it's therefore much more chomer, because he's asering her, Oserta Yisroelam. So then, wouldn't it be obvious that if the Torah required two Edim in the just the Isser that requires her to drink, which is the Stira, Kol Shekein it should require two Edim in the Isser that actually makes it impossible for her to drink, and is Koveya that she's a Surah Le'olam. So why do we come out saying not like that? And why do we say we believe one Ed for Tuma? Talmud Lomar, the Ed Ein Ba. So as we darshan before, the Ed Ein Ba means that Kol Sheyesh Ba. In other words, we do not have our full Edut. We do not have Edut Shnayim, as we always said. But whatever we do have would be Ne'eman. So therefore, if we have even one, and it says over there, this is at the end of Vehi Nitma'a. It says Vehi Nitma'a Ve'ed Ein Ba Vehi Lo Nitvasa. So therefore, we see there's no way out of it. The Torah is saying that if we have any Edut, whatever, even if we don't have two Edim, that the din is that that would put her into a state of Isser. And therefore, we understand the word Edut in Ba. There's no Edut whatsoever, would be the remez in the Pasuk. So we have no choice. It's a Gzirat HaKatuv. So now, if we have that Gzirat HaKatuv, why don't we work backwards and make a Kav HaChomer in the other direction and say, all right, so then if that's the case, Kav HaChomer LeEdut HaRishona Miata. If even the Edut HaAchrona, which is the Edut of Tuma, which is Osarta Yisur Olam, and she doesn't have an option of drinking from the Mayim, and she therefore will never be able to go back to her husband, and nonetheless it's Mitkayemet Be'ed Echad. So the Edut HaRishona, which is the Edut of the Stira, which does not close the door on her relationship with her husband, it just makes her need to drink from the Mayim HaOrim. she'inu sarta Yisraelam. So now we should have a kal vachomer in the other direction. Eino din shetitkayem be'ed echad. Therefore, Talmud lomar, in the case where we're talking about Gittin, ki matzaba ervat davar. We're not talking about sota, but we're talking about the fact that somebody finds his wife had actually been mizana, and it uses the word davar. And in the dinim of edus, we have the famous al pishnei edim or al pishlosha edim yakum davar. So this word davar is very significant, and it's telling us that just like ma davar ha'amur la'alan al pishnayim edim, where we're talking about divrei momonim, and the Torah says you need two edim or you need three edim, and it uses that same lotion of davar. So too over here, afkan al pi shnayim. But I'm so confused, because before we went through this whole drasha that we were talking about ba, right? And we darshened the idea aid ein ba, we said. Ba velo bekinoi, and ba velo bestira. So why do we need to have this gzera shava of davar davar if we already had the limud to tell us that we accept the aid echad only when it's nogea the tuma? We don't need to have a drasha from the outside, because once we're memayit this halacha, ba, only when it comes to this din, that means we're not learning the other din. And what are the other dinim? Kinui and stira. And therefore, what would be the din? The normal din, whatever the normal din is of Edus in the Torah. But I don't need Xerish other, the normal din of Edus in the Torah, without the davar davar from Dinei Mominus, would tell me that you need two edim. So why is the Mishnah insisting that we need a specific Xerish other, if we already learned it out from the word ba? Ba velo bekinui, ba velo bestira. L'chor, that should be enough. Says the Gemara, yes, it's true. Hochi nami ka'omar. You need to understand the Mishnah differently. What the Mishnah is saying is, put in these words. So that's as if the Mishnah was chaser, Talmud lomar ba. Fine. It's as if the Mishnah wrote that we know that we need two edim, because the halacha of ba tells us that there's no din of ne'amonis of an ed echad other than in this specific case, which is the case of the edus acharona. And therefore, we then put in these words, ba velo bekinui, ba velo vestira. And then, why did we bring in this last piece? The Tuma Bialma, where we're talking about testimony for a woman that she should become Asura, where we're not talking about a case of Kinui and Stira. Below Kinui, below Stira, where over there we know that an Eid Echad is not Ne'eman. Why don't we learn out from Saita that just like by Sota an Eid Echad is Ne'eman, so too by all cases of adultery, Eid Echad is Ne'eman? That's what the Mishnah is now coming to address. And there it tells us that we know cannot be the case. Why? Because Ne'emar kan ki matzaba ervat davar, v'ne'emar lahalan al pi shnei edim o pi shlosha edim yakum davar. And that teaches us that just like davar, that we're talking about gezeira shava tamamai, just as the din over there is in all legal situations, you require two witnesses. Here too, you require two witnesses. So basically, we're looking at the Mishnah as if it was missing this entire section, skipped directly to the end, which is a description of, generally speaking, why would we not use Saita as a model for belief about issues of adultery? And therefore comes to tell us, within the dinim of Saita itself, that we only accept an Eid Echad b'nogei Tuma and not for Kinui and Stira. Yes, we discussed that earlier. That comes from Ba, the Eid Ein Ba. Masha Ein Kein, the question, the further question, why would we not use Sota as a model? That's a different issue, and that we learn from Davar Davar. Alon? Alon, you're not muted.
Sorry.
Fine. So what is the bottom line? Bottom line is, Saita is a unique situation, which is only because of Raglayim Ledavar. Tanu Rabbanu, Ezohi Edut HaRishona. You just want to make sure I understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah was talking about a Kal Vachomer for the Edut HaRishona, from the Edut HaRishona, and I just want to make sure I understood. What are you calling the Edut HaRishona? That's called the Edut Stira. Because over there she's Asura, but she's only Asura until she drinks. And what is called the Edut Achrona? That was what we were referring to as the Edut Tum'ah.